You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonçalves. This is SBS On The Money for this Friday, the 22nd of January 2021. It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later the day on the markets and our spending habits have been shifting lately. But first, I'll start with a bit of a special on charitable donations. The team at JB Weir say that total donations to charities fell 7% last year during the pandemic. And that includes individuals, corporates and trusts, that total number. But some businesses skewed to the outcomes of the pandemic actually saw an increase in donations, especially social enterprises. Who Gives a Crap is one of them. It makes toilet paper. And earlier I spoke with its co-founder, Simon Griffiths. To what extent did you and your company benefit from the pandemic?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we were having quite a strong year financially coming into February, and we were projecting our first multi-million dollar donation. And then, you know, March to June of the financial year ended up being a little bit busier than what we'd anticipated. And as a result, our donation ended up growing into, you know, more than $5 million, which was up 700% on 12 months prior. So a pretty amazing result, you know, something good at least coming out of COVID with all of that money ending up going into some great places.
Did the demand catch you off guard?
Yeah, so in the first couple of days of March, we started to see our daily sales double and then increase 5x and then 12x. And the day after that, it looked like we were going to do 30 to 40 times a regular day of sales. And so we had to move our website to sold out to basically hold on to inventory for our subscribers. We want to make sure never run out of toilet paper again. And so we turned on an email sign up on our website so people could find out when we were back in stock. We thought we'd get a few thousand people signing up for that waitlist. We ended up with more than 500,000 people on that waitlist, which was a bit of a shock. And so in order to kind of service that many customers, we had to take our big 48 roll boxes and pack them into two smaller 24 roll boxes. We hired and trained 25 freelancers and got them to answer customer service inquiries to triple our customer service volume. And then we set up an invite-only version of our website and invited just enough people through that website every day to take our warehouses and our carriers to their absolute maximum daily limits. And so that enabled us to run for about 8 weeks with this secret online toilet paper club and ultimately get in touch with all of those. You know, what ended up being more than 600,000 people on that wait list to let them know that we're back in stock.
So given that increase in customers and subscribers, how do you hold on to those customers for repeat sales?
Yeah, so a lot of our customers are on subscription, and so they have a recurring purchase with us that we try to figure out, you know, exactly when the next delivery should be of their large 48 roll box to make sure that it comes just before they've finished their previous box, and as a result they'll never run out of toilet paper again. If we can get that right, it means that I think we create a product experience that's, you know, pretty amazing, probably better than what you could get with any other toilet paper company in the world. And as a result, we tend to hold on to customers for a really long period of time, which is really wonderful. Again, you know, a great attribute of a subscription business.
Simon Griffiths there, the co-founder of Who Gives a Crap. Now, Thank You is another social enterprise. It makes hand sanitizer and other personal hygiene products, and it's 100% owned by a charitable trust. And last year, it was able to donate $10 million to help eradicate global poverty through its partners. And that $10 million figure is more than all of the donations it made in the prior 12 years combined. So for more, I spoke earlier with its co-founder, Daniel Flynn. To what extent did the demand catch you off guard? And I guess, what did you learn from it?
Yeah, look, I think it caught everyone off guard. You know, all of our supply chain wasn't ready. No one is ready for a kind of a move that quick. And I remember there was moments where we had fragrance stuck in Italy because that was going into lockdown, and lids were in other parts of the world. And It was as if supply chain fell apart. And I think what we learned is we had to go back to what founded Thank You, which is lean, agile business. And you have to think like a startup. You have to problem solve, not once a week, like every hour. And our team did such a remarkable job to go from what could have actually been the end of Thank You. Like, supply chain fell apart that bad. But it could have ended us. And yet, together with suppliers and partners, we were able to kind of navigate our way through and actually end up with our most successful year on record.
So tell me more about that donation model. Where does that money go to? And how does it work with the business?
Yeah, so look, we sell, you know, consumer product, we make as much money as we can. We are then finding partners, and we think that our partners around the world, these are NGOs focused on the end of extreme poverty. We think they're the heroes in this story, and our job is to back them. You know, and so that $10 million, along with, you know, future profits that we make, goes to funding them. Currently on our website, you'll see 14 partners who are working to solve really the complexities of poverty. Poverty isn't simple, it's complex. And we have partners working in maternal infant health. We have guys like Raising the Village who have worked in parts of Uganda, getting communities from 45 cents a day to now over just under $3 income per day. And that transformation is huge. It's not fast. It takes commitment from our partners, and you know, we're funding them. So we play a small part in this, but it's much needed help right now.
How are sales going so far, I don't know, this year or in the past month or so? Have we seen peak sales?
Yeah, look, we definitely have. I mean, I think it was like a mini gold rush. So everyone started making hand sanitizer and everyone started selling it. And now people have got warehouses full of it. We have a little bit too much stock on hand. And I think everyone, the supermarkets, our business and others, are trying to find what is the new normal. People are washing their hands more often, which is good. And so I think we'll see an uplift long term. But it is nothing like the just the crazy times that were 2020.
That is Daniel Flynn there, co-founder of Thank You. Well, total donations are expected to fall by 12% this year, according to JB Weir. So what can charities do to capture the attention of individuals and corporates? For that, I spoke earlier with John McLeod, JB Weir Philanthropic Services. What do you think those charities that are struggling need to do? Do they need to put up more of a public face, or do corporates need to go searching for these charities that need that help?
It's a delicate balance for charities. I think they need to talk about the fact that, you know, to keep on providing the services that are needed, they need that extra income that they get through donations, but they don't want to appear so desperate that if we don't get this, we're going to collapse. Because people don't want to support organisations that may not want to be around or are going to be around in the future. So there is that delicate balance for them. We've seen some dramatic changes in Australian philanthropy over the last 10 years. We've seen the rise in high net worth giving. We've seen corporates get more and more engaged in it and change the way they do it. At the same time, we've seen the mass market, or the person in the street, if you like, decline in the proportion of people who donate. So I think that the smarter charities are recognising this big change that's going on in philanthropy and have adjusted both who they're talking to and are adjusting the sorts of things they're talking about. So you know, if you want to elicit donations from the higher net worths who are growing quite a lot around the world and in Australia, that is a different discussion to if you're having the emotive discussion with the mass market. And it's very different again to the discussion you have with corporates, where you're trying to make this win-win argument, you know, what's in it for both the corporate in terms of the reputation, the staff that they can attract, all that sort of thing. That's a different discussion to just about the need that charities have. So I think the upskilling and the changing of charities is something they need to continue with to attract it in these times.
John McLeod there from JB Weir Philanthropic Services. Let's go to some corporate news of the day now. And first of all, some economic news and retail sales. And retail sales have pulled back from their record high, with more shoppers doing their Christmas shopping 1 month earlier. The Bureau of Stats says preliminary retail trade fell by 4.2% in December, with the popularity of shopping events like Black Friday enticing consumers to bring forward their end-of-year spending. It's a trend which experts say has been exacerbated by the stay-at-home movement amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Here is EY Oceania Chief Economist Joe Masters.
So it's a trend that was in place prior to COVID. It's been gaining popularity over the last few years, But it does look like that has been accelerated in COVID. We are seeing a boost to online sales more generally. Older Australians, for example, starting to shop online and therefore maybe taking advantage of these sales. So certainly being accelerated, and I would suggest here to stay.
Joe Masters there from EY, and a quick look at the market. The ASX down 0.3% to 6,800 for the week. Those shares are up 1.3% for the moves on the market today. I spoke earlier with Fiona Clark from Merrick Capital. Fiona, the market's down today. Why?
Look, it is down a little bit, but it's not a huge move in light of the moves that we saw in overseas markets, which, you know, were lackluster in terms of their activity. And for the week, we're still up quite significantly, up 1.3%. So I see this as sort of a bit of breathing space ahead of potentially a long weekend for many Australian investors, and also, you know, standing on the sidelines ahead of waiting to see how US markets react to the event of Joe Biden actually coming into office and putting his plans into place.
Coca-Cola Amatil, a possible takeover?
Well, we saw an update today from Coca-Cola. Now, the bad news is that Coca-Cola Amatil does expect earnings to be down 13.9% for the year, and they're still seeing the impact of COVID affecting sales. But the good news is that they did see strong growth in volumes in Australia and New Zealand in the last quarter. So what we're seeing is the share price currently trading around $13. It's above the $12.75 offer that we saw this year, last year from Coca-Cola, a European partner. So there is a little bit talk in the market that perhaps that they might be able to raise that bid, and some large investors are sort of suggesting a price more along the lines of $14 is more realistic. So it is possible we'll see a higher bid there.
And what do you make of Bitcoin? Because it seems now to be falling almost as hard as it rose just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so we saw a phenomenal increase in Bitcoin last year. Year to date, we've seen a 25% fall. And in fact, the key reason I think you're seeing this volatile move is that it's had such that incredible run. We do see the Bank of America has its global fund manager survey. And in that survey of the world's largest fund managers, the Bitcoin trade is the most crowded. In other words, many fund managers actually got a position there. So any move gets exaggerated and is quite large. But, of course, more recently in the last couple of days, there have been a few things that have had an impact on the Bitcoin share price, one of which was a report saying that there was what was called a double spend event, which unsurprisingly means that if someone gets to spend the same Bitcoin twice. Turns out that report said no, in fact, it hadn't happened. It was this other kind of transaction where an unconfirmed transaction is replaced with one that has a higher paying fee. Regardless, it's not good news. And similarly, we saw Janet Yellen, who's the nominee for Treasury Secretary, come out this week and sort of say that we needed to curtail our use of Bitcoin because it still is very much associated with illicit transaction and criminal activity. So overall, I think this weakness is a function of when you've got something that's quite speculative, I expect to see some volatility.
Merrick Capital's Fiona Clark there. That is SBS on the Money for this Friday, the 22nd of January. Our next episode and podcast will be on Tuesday, the 2nd of February. I'm taking a bit of a break. You can follow me in the meantime at Business Ricardo on Twitter and on Instagram.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.